Now let's get to chapter 3, the consumer. Now, why understanding the consumer matters? Might sound like a pretty straightforward question, but let's look at what the account planner's role is in this. This is because the right message has to be delivered to the right audience. Without that, your communication fails, strategy fails, everything goes for a toss. We have to know the client plus product, because it is incomplete without knowing the audience. Even the most creative campaign fails if it reaches an audience that misunderstands. Now you have to understand what are the consumer groups here that vary widely, you know, whether it's, for example, European versus an Indian teenager. Now you have to also kind of look at the consumers, what kind of brands they buy, whether they trust, you know, quality, consistency, price. Where is their trust coming from? What is the first thing that they go to? You also have to understand what is the buying behavior, how consumers select, how they scour through the thousands of products available. You have to also understand the buying behavior, how consumers select and purchase out of the thousands and ten thousands of products available to them, not just at their doorstep, but also in their phone screens. Consumer insights, and what are they and why? Success in advertising depends on understanding what is the consumer's mind, with a lot of several factors. But once you get there, then it becomes very clear as to what your product, your service needs to be designed around. What is consumer insight? The interpretation of data plus behavior to reveal new opportunities in the area. Now you have to kind of understand that this goes beyond, you know, your surface level needs into deeper motivations. There's powerful instincts that connect emotionally, challenge convention, solve real problems. We also have to understand that context need to be provided for the idea and expressing a consumer dilemma clearly. This helps capture true buying motivation and not just functional needs. And what are the various types of consumer insights? Let's get into that. There's behavior, there's pain point, there's unmet needs. You know, a Unilever's daag achhe hai, we remember that very clearly, that, you know, it's like dirt kind of teaches you something, that the next time you don't make the same mistake. That is such a deeply embedded thought, not just in Indian households, but across the world. Okay, if you get on a bike and you fall, the next time you know how not to fall. You learn to ride a bike just by falling. Only once you dive into the water, you learn swimming. You know, they also have to understand what the cultural insights are. What are the beliefs, tradition, cultural shifts? You know, Nike had come up with a campaign that you can't stop us. This is talks about, you know, your resilience, your inclusivity. What are you fighting against? What is this generation dealing with? Now also there is stuff like future insights. This depends a lot on technology, R&D, innovation driven needs. An example is an eco-safe detergent could be the next, you know, product wave. Going more towards what other types of consumer insights exist. Let's say a brand insights, the perception of brand value and meaning. MasterCard, you know, start something priceless. During COVID, people learned to pick up their guitar. People learned new skills. They started working out. They started public speaking on Instagram, on TikTok. So start something priceless is such a nice idea. It's such a nice thought or one-line communication which tells you that, okay, the world is in a place where it needs that kind of support. It needs talent. It needs art. It needs a shoulder to cry on. Then there's what is market insights. You know, competition, category, brands. Let's go beyond meat. This is for sustainable protein. You know, purchase insights. When, where, how decisions. For example, Amazon Prime. Fast but free delivery. It drives consumerism. Let's understand how insights shape creative strategy. Insights define the core message and the tone of the campaign, of course, but it also reveals a lot of emotional triggers in consumers. You know, it helps identify what new target segments are based on consumer needs, on unmet needs, you know. How to turn your consumer dilemmas into compelling brand stories and brand narratives. Naukri.com for that matter, they had this, or Monster it was, I don't remember the brand, but it was a website for a job search, which kind of showed a guy is falling down a cliff. He's hanging by, the rock wall, but somebody throws a rope and somebody else throws another rope, and there are four other people throw various ropes. That is registered in my mind because that is such a clear symbolic structure of how the job search can be so stressful, and you don't know what's the right job for you. This also enables your planners to reframe categories and shift perceptions. Then you also inform the creative brief, guiding media, and messaging choices. What is the outcome of a strong consumer insight? There are campaigns that feel personal and relevant. There's an authentic connection between brand values and consumer values. There's high recall, engagement, and persuasion in communication. Now you have to understand what the ability is to anticipate future behavior and not just react to it. Unique positioning is something that, you know, gives you a competitive advantage. The foundation for long-term brand loyalty. This is the foundation for long-term brand loyalty rather than short-term sales. Why target consumer understanding matters. Most importantly, right now is the digital shift that is happening. Internet, mobile, social media. Our consumer behavior has been transformed because of that. You know, the way you think about food is not because you're hungry. It's now because you've seen a good image of a food, or you've seen somebody's story of eating good food on Instagram. You know, also, it depends on how easy your interface is to use when you're ordering food, when you're ordering shopping. How easily can you go from, right from having a thought in your mind of buying a certain pair of gym shorts to actually putting it in your cart and exiting it with the easiest method of payment. Usually, what is a planner's first question? Who is the target consumer? Everyone is never the realistic target. You cannot target everybody. You have to target, you have to sell umbrellas a month or two before your monsoons. You have to understand where they're going to buy it. They're probably going to, be on their way to travel, on their way to work, and you have to place your umbrella stand outside the railway station or, you know, outside the rickshaw stand where somebody will say, oh, the monsoon's coming, I need to pick up an umbrella. Then what is accurate targeting? This is when you want to spend less. This is when, you know, you have your experiential marketing events where if you want to sell a certain perfume or a car, you call a certain section of society that you know is probably living in a very nice place and in a very nice suburb and can afford that perfume or the car. You know, you have to understand your audience, whether because it is essential to deliver the right message effectively. What is the importance of consumer segmentation? Segmentation divides consumers into meaningful, actionable groups. It helps identify profitable current and potential customers. It sharpens the creative briefs with clear, specific target profiles. You know now what is your game plan. You know that, okay, once we sharpen the brief towards a certain section or segment of society or consumers, you know, what is the communication going to be like? Do we say that this is the best, or this is, you know, the second to best? There's a famous campaign by Avis and Hertz where Hertz was claiming to be the best in the market. But Avis said, yes, we are second best, but at the same time, you can get us at a discount. You can get us at a cheaper rate. You know, that was perfect positioning for them at that point of time. Then this also reduces the cost of broad, unfocused campaigns, ensures communication reaches consumers on their preferred channels. Now, let's understand why markets are segmented. This is to identify unmet needs and assess market opportunities. This enables tailored marketing and differentiated brand appeals. This helps allocate budgets to high response segments. This reflects the diverse taste and habits of buying behaviors. You have to kind of understand this also identifies new customer groups for extension, support long-term brand and portfolio growth. Let's understand the basis of segmentation. What is the demographic here? The age, gender, income, family size, life stage, geographic, city, are you talking about a city, a region, countries, or climate? Psychology, lifestyle, value, motivation, personality. What is their behavior, their usage, their loyalty? What is their attitude towards certain brands and the product in that industry? How does this apply to a consumer? It applies to a consumer because, you know, This happens not just in the consumer market, but industry and government sectors too. This also provides a framework for building target personas. Let's understand the basis of segmentation. Now, when it comes to geographic, obviously you're looking at your zip code, postcode, city, country, climate, the time zone. Demographic, we all know, your age, gender, income, race, religion. Psychographic, your values, your goals, your pain points. You know, a lot of sports brands take in the values of winning and working hard to communicate their messaging to the consumer through cricket or through football. Behavioral, purchasing habits, brand injections, like purchasing habits. What is your purchasing habit? Let's target that. Your Zomato had this ad where every day, or was it Swiggy? I don't know. Every day your maid is making tinde ki sabzi. So why not just for a change call for some tasty pav bhaji? So these are the basis of segmentation and how agencies and clients for their product, for their brand, use these bases of segmentation. What are the common mistakes in defining target consumers? When you target too broadly and you say that product is for everyone, you know, this has backfired in a lot of ways in the last two decades. When you choose the wrong segment, you know, premium product for low income groups, obviously that's a no-no, you can't do that. When you misjudge geography and cultural norms, over-relying on demographics and ignoring psychographics, treating online and offline consumers as separate rather than cross-platform, failing to update segments with new digital behaviors. Now, what are the type of markets? Consumer markets. These are individuals buying personal use, FMCG, retail. Industrial markets are business buying, raw materials, components. Your reseller markets, wholesalers, retailers, each behave differently and requires distinct targeting strategies. Let's also understand what are the market types, shapes, messaging, pricing, and distribution. Planner must match campaigns and their goals to the right market structure. Now, these are the tools and agencies for measuring target size. We've heard these before, Nielsen, MRI, Kantar, Ipsos. And what they do is they track what consumers watch, buy, browse, interact with, offer syndicate surveys on lifestyle, usage, and media habits. They combine traditional research with digital first methodology. They combine digital traditional research with digital first methodologies. They help planners to quantify market size, habits, and attitudes. This ensures that the campaigns are based on accurate evidence and based insights. Let's look at digital first targeting tools. Google Analytics obviously is the one that we all have heard of, we are all familiar with. This goes deep into your demographics, interests, and market segments. Then there's Quantcast Measure. It's AI driven. It's more on the psychographics and purchase intent. Facebook Audience Insights, your lifestyle, the pages that you like, the things that you comment on, what is your purchase behavior. YouTube Analytics, you know, when are you watching? What time are we watching? You know, what are the demographics? In which country are you watching? All this information is available right now to account planners. Then what is the real-time data? All this real-time data enables micro-segmentation and personalization. This supports always-on adaptive targeting across platforms. Now let's deep dive into the consumer's life. You know, these kind of techniques to profile explores usage patterns, the routines, the lifestyle, the media habits. This includes your product usage, digital interactions, you know, your hobbies, your attitudes. What sports are you watching? Are you checking in at a sports complex or a paddleball court near your house? Are you tagging yourself at a golf course, you know, somewhere in Dubai? What are you doing? All that information is available now when it comes to the consumer's life. The children and their teens, how much time are they spending at school? How much time are they spending on their phone, their screens? What jerseys are they buying? Are they buying Mumbai Indians jerseys or are they buying Delhi Capitals jerseys? Also, there is very important is how kids influence household purchases. You know, What cereal are you buying? What cereal are you buying? What milk powder are you buying? What kind of chocolates and chips are coming into the house? This kind of stuff is all very available today once you deep dive into the consumer's life. Then we come to what is buying motivation? The inner drive that directs goal-oriented action. See, when it comes to consumer behavior, it creates a desire for products and services. There is fulfillment, there is joy in both functional usefulness and emotional identity. There is fulfillment and joy in both functional usefulness and emotional identity reassurance. Then your needs evolve. My needs have evolved now as a 42-year-old man. It's like I'm not buying that many sports shoes or stuff like that anymore. I don't go run onto the pitch and play hard football. I look at where am I more in a more protected environment. I buy gym gear. You know, those are the things that have changed. I don't remember the last time I bought football shoes, you know, because I stopped playing about 2 years back. But gym gear, yes, of course, I buy gloves, you know, I buy socks, I buy gym tees, etc., etc. So that's how my needs have evolved right now. Then you have to also understand that motivation drives effort, choice, brand preference, and loyalty. You know, the effective campaign that comes out of this should align with deep motives and not just your product features. Let's look at this pyramid, which is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, there are five levels that shape consumer choices. Psychological. Let's look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There are five levels that shape consumer choices. Physiological, your food, water, your sleep, safety, security, stability, shelter, love and belonging, affection, social acceptance, esteem, respect, power, achievement, competence, self-actualization, potential, dreams and ambition. The lower needs must be satisfied before the higher ones. Life events, job loss, crisis can push consumers many, many notches down in life. The only few reach true self-satisfaction or self-actualization, you know, this is where only a few reach self-actualization. Society rewards mid-level needs. Understanding what a segment sits in hierarchy helps in positioning. Yeah, now let's look at this diagram. This is something everyone can live their life by. First is, you know, your psychological needs. And this is where the most key important stuff in the pyramid is something that you need to first satisfy. This, without this, you don't exist. I mean, you will have a lot of problems with your health and you're not going to be in a safe place mentally or physically at all. Then what is your safety needs, your personal security? You need employment, you need to go to work, you need to make money. Your love and belonging, this is where, you know, beauty products and wellness products, they talk about, you know, your friendship, intimacy. You see most of these ads, there is one girl telling the other girl that, you know, you use this brand product and things are going to turn out well for you. You're going to have a happier life. Esteem. Your self-esteem, respect, status. This is where cars come in. Your luxury cars and, you know, your motorbikes. This is where people know that they are buying a certain car because of a certain brand because they want a status in society. Self-actualization is, you know, is the most toughest segment to market to because here you are content with what you have. So below self-actualization is where most of the business happens and most of, you know, the products are sold. Now let's look at why motivation matters for planners. Their buying decisions reflect hidden psychological drivers beyond logic. These are the reasons cited for that, you know, the price, the features. But what are the real motives? The identity, the emotion, the status. Nobody talks about that. I want to buy a car that's 18 lakhs, but do I have that status for it? Nobody will talk about that. So I'll buy it anyways. I want to show my friends, my colleagues, everyone around me that I can afford that car. Motivational research discovers cultural, social, subconscious forces. Aligns brand positioning along with consumer motives, effective messaging, which equals to effective messaging. Here, the insights determine the context of the idea and express consumer dilemmas. The strong insights can reframe conventions and create new target segments. Now, what happened post-COVID was interesting. The shifts in motivation happened. Flight to digital, the rapid adoption of e-commerce, streaming, remote work, Disney Plus built 5 months of what Netflix built in 7 years. That was the pace at which Disney Plus tried to catch Netflix, but that didn't happen. Netflix is still far ahead. Shift to value, focus on essentials, price sensitivity increased during that time. Shock to loyalty, stock issues because of certain brands not being able to fulfill their stock. People move to other brands. Price pressure, and because of that, they switch their brands. Homebody economy, spending move to cooking, gardening, home fitness. Now, during COVID, what happened was future campaigns now must integrate digital access, value, plus deliveries. Motivation is now multi-channel. It's shaped by convenience, accessibility. Motivational research deliverables. What this does, it converts insights into actionable strategic formats. Here, groups are defined by emotional drivers and, you're not your demographic. This is more about how you feel and why you're buying a product instead of where you are and what time it is and, what gender you are. Brands started getting these profiles where they started to map tangible attributes plus symbolic meanings. This is safe, but this is also cheap. This is the best kind of mask that you can get, your COVID mask. Now you have to understand that what is the positional analysis here? You evaluate the fit between brand promise and consumer motive. This reveals white spaces and gaps in competitive messaging. This helps align segmentation, design, and communication strategy. What are the major techniques for motivation research? Observation, the key one, what the consumer is doing. What are the natural settings, the real behaviors, and not claim preferences? Example, the restaurant observation service